could turn to when my life fell apart. She was the one who put the keys in my hand, who guided me to the car and said, "Go. Go to Grayton Beach. No one will look for you." The road to Celeste's beach place is sugar white sand, spinning the wheels of my car as I turn off the highway. Grayton Beach isn't like the other resort areas on the Emerald Coast. It's the real Florida, the locals say. I drive for half a mile before coming to the trailer park, deep in a grove of pine flatwoods overgrown with blackberry bushes and scrub. Although I can't see it, I feel it. The Gulf of Mexico, right behind the moss-hung oaks. I roll the window down, breathing the hot salt air. "Open the door of my trailer," Celeste had said, "and the ocean is your backyard." At the end of the road is Celeste's trailer, hidden in low-hanging magnolia trees, the branches scraping the top of my car when I park. Sea oats wave in the sandy yard like welcoming banners as I make my way up the path overgrown with sticker burrs. The tiny silver trailer is a doll's house with zodiac signs painted around the doorframe. Aquarius pouring water from a pitcher. Pisces the fish. Scorpio the scorpion. Emblems of her trade. Celeste's star signs. Climbing the concrete block steps, I fumble with the key, all of a sudden dead tired. Everything is as Celeste described inside. The late afternoon sun flooding in as I pull the shades one by one. Moving to the tiny kitchen area, I put away my meager groceries, fruit and bread and cheese. I'd never bought so few things. Ben, the classic meat and potatoes man, demanded big meals, a pantry stocked with junk food, groceries the biggest chunk of our budget. From a plastic bag, I bring out two bottles of wine, a good Bordeaux and a Pinot Grigio for variety. Augusta's legacy. In my upbringing, there was no such thing as wine with dinner. My people drank Jim Beam from a brown paper bag in the back of a pickup truck. I walk to the beach. As I top the biggest dune, the emerald splendor is spread out before me. A banquet of blue sky and green sea on a white picnic table. Kicking off my flip-flops, I run to the water with a pole banging against my bare legs. The hot, foamy waves cover my feet as I throw my head back to shout, "Yes!" My voice rises and joins the song of seagulls overhead. As far as the eye can see, only the wide expanse of sea and sky. And for a moment, I forget why I've run away. I don't know what I've done to deserve this hideaway, this healing elixir of sea and sun, but I thank God in a prayer snatched from my lips by the sea wind. I thank him that we don't always get what we deserve. Sometimes we get what we need. Low and pink, the sun hovers over the horizon like an iridescent bubble suspended by a playful angel. I bait the hook of my fishing pole with a gray shrimp and cast the line way out into the waves. After anchoring the pole firmly in wet sand, I walk far enough to see the town of Grayton. Last time I walked those streets, peeping in the little shops and art galleries, Augusta and Gus waited for me in the outdoor cafe beneath banana trees. The town blurs as my eyes fill with tears, and remembering, I turn my head away toward the setting sun. How many sunsets will it take before I can think of them without crying? I guess that's what I've come to Grayton to find out. I ended up at Grayton Beach because I came to Crystal Springs first. It was 3 years ago, the first Wednesday in June, that Ben and I moved to the town of Crystal Springs across the state of Florida from the Jacksonville area where we'd lived for 20 years. With the moving van a few minutes behind us, we pulled our cars, me following Ben, a metaphor for our life together, into the driveway of our new house. It was a fine place with a lush lawn, white daisies and orange daylilies abloom in front. The wide ground sloped toward the street to a sidewalk shaded with palm trees. Towns with sidewalks seemed more welcoming to me. We'd moved before several times, but this was the most momentous one yet. Ben motioned for me to join him before we walked up the brick walkway to the house. A welcoming committee awaited us inside, and I was nervous. A few weeks before, Ben had met with them and won them over. Now it was my turn. "Dean, listen to me now,"